Chris Netter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA1977 on Twitter.
Nimmers Netter, just talking to teachers.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Nailers Natter. I must just start by saying I've been absolutely blown away by the reception and the number of listeners from last week's show. So thank you again to Simon Cox, and I'm glad that everybody's enjoying the podcast. This week I'm thrilled to be joined by John Collier. John is a Teacher Development Trust CPD Expert Advisor for Stoke. And John has enjoyed a fantastically varied career, working through all phases of education from early years right up and through to post 16. Without giving too much away, and as you're aware, the purpose of this podcast is to share and shine a light on the use of research and evidence-based practice in schools. So John speaks with great passion about his use of the EES practical tool, making best use of teaching assistants. This report has been used widely by John in Stoke, and he's been involved personally in the training of hundreds of teaching assistants across the area. As usual, I'll include links to the guidance reports and the description of this in the podcast. So without further ado, here is my interview with John Collier. Okay, so welcome, John. Welcome to Nailers Natter.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for asking me.
No problem at all. So if you can tell our listeners a little bit about you and your journey to this point and your current role.
Sure. So currently I'm Director of Teaching and Learning for Britannia Teaching School Alliance, which is in Stoke-on-Trent. And this year is quite special for me because it's 25 years since I've been in education. So started off in further ed, being a lecturer, doing English and drama, which is one of my sort of passions. And then sort of 22 years in primary. So I've gone from originally doing sort of adult learning, 16 plus, and then lots of time in primary schools. And then I've come back to adult learning now, my current role, which is all about designing and delivering CPD for teachers and support staff and staff at every level, really.
Fantastic. I didn't realise you'd had such a varied role. I was obviously aware of your work with primary schools and your Teacher Development Trust role, but I wasn't aware of you working in FE as well.
I was never one of those children who kind of, you know, lined up my teddy bears and took the register at home as a child. And it was never, there was something in the background about possibly ended up being a teacher. And definitely my drama teacher at high school was encouraging me in that direction. Should my dreams of being, some famous actor, as I wanted to be when I was 16, fail. And then it was through opportunities, really. It was definitely through, I did something called theatre education. So if you've ever employed those people who come around in a little van and do pantos in your school hall, I did that for about 3 years after finishing my degree, which was in drama. And then just loved it so much, doing workshops, particularly with primary age children. I just thought, do you know what? I could do this full time if I thought about it. So I went off to Kiel and did my PGCE and then never looked back, really.
Fantastic. If you just tell us a little bit more, John, about your current role with the Teacher Development Trust and how that's working in Stoke.
Yeah, so this is a really exciting project. I mean, nationally, we're talking what was originally 5 CPD Excellence Hubs, which is now grown up about 7 or 8, and we're one of the original 5, like yourselves in Blackpool. And it's been absolutely amazing to see the focus of evaluating CPD and providing more effective CPD for staff and leaders in schools locally. So we're working with 9 schools in Stoke-on-Trent and just beyond Stoke in Staffordshire. And, you know, 2 days a week, I'm absolutely loving the coaching conversations and the audits that we have to carry out and the hub sessions that we do, sharing the latest findings on research and what's effective and what's evidence-based. Already 12 months in, we're seeing real impact, and the people that I'm working with, in particular CPD leads, the principals of schools, just really flourishing and you know, going absolutely stratospheric in terms of their passion for CPD and the offer they give to their school staff. Amazing.
And I mean, just speaking personally for a minute, you were a big inspiration for me when I first came into this project with sort of eyes wide open. I had no clue about, like you said, about, you know, teaching teachers and CPD and all that kind of thing. And, you know, you've massively helped me with that. So thank you for that on a personal level.
That's very kind, thanks.
The big focus of this podcast is going to be to talk about one piece of research that has influenced you. So if you can tell us about that piece of research, and if you can remember where you read it and why you read it.
And so the one I've gone for is quite an interesting one because there's so much out there now, but I'm going back to when we became a teacher school, which was in 2012. And one of the things that we were asked to do, certainly by schools locally, was to provide training for teaching assistants. And there was a real need. In the city, there's about 60 primary schools, and we don't just work in Stoke, we work in Cheshire and Shropshire as well. So, you know, absolutely mind-boggling fact would be, since 2012, we've delivered our teaching assistant training to about almost 3,000 support staff. And it's just, when you look back and reflect, and gosh, just starting from that need, the actual impact of what of that piece of work is incredible. And what that was based on was the EEF Making Best Use of Teaching Assistants report that came out in 2015. So although we had a program in place just previous to that, once that report came out and the seven recommendations, it was obvious that we could feed that into the content and make that such a stronger and a more robust program for people to access. We had it quality assured as well by Curate about sort of 18 months after we'd redesigned the course, and you know, we've had that sort of rubber stamp, if you like, that it is an effective course that people can come along and access.
It's fascinating. I mean, in the conversations that I have with a lot of schools when we do the CPD audits and we talk about, you know, what kind of professional development can we give to teaching assistants, and that report does come up, and you know, lots of us would like to kind of have the impact that you've had across the hub on how you've done that. So what would you say has been the impact of that piece?
For us, you know, the first thing to say is we started with sort of primary schools, but then we, as the programme grew in popularity and people were aware of it locally, it then went into secondary schools and it went into special needs schools. And so it's become a programme that's really flexible, and, you know, I've been asked to deliver it as a one-day course. I've been asked to deliver it over several staff meetings, so it's very flexible in terms of it has almost modules within it, so that, you know, we can cater for those people who are desperate to sort of train their staff. And the impact has been over time, what's happened is we've sort of grown networks. So from that, just that first initial input of professional development, people have said, well, this is great. And for a lot of people, this is the first time I've been out of school on a course, you know, in donkey's years. How can I sustain this? How can I find out more about this role as you know, as time goes on? So what we've created locally are a number of networks. So the sustainability of what was just a few sessions of a programme is now a regular network where, one example, we sort of base ourselves at secondary school up the road, and all the primary feeder TAs come together regularly, and we sort of, the content of those network meetings are very much coming from the teaching assistants themselves. So next time can we look at, you know, reading, for example, or promoting independence. So it's become a beast of its own, and you know, there are many networks locally now which I facilitate where we've got this fantastic collaboration going on, networking, support staff at all levels coming together. And so in terms of its impact, I think for me, I see it on the faces when they walk in the room, you know, from the feedback. Oh gosh, when we talked about last time I've done that in the classroom with children, I've tried that. And so I'm almost like, I'm the puppeteer in the room, really, because it's coming from them, you know, it's actually coming from the staff rather than me giving them, it's not training as such, you know, it's actually facilitating their learning.
I mean, it's brilliant. I'll put a link to the Making Best Use of Teaching Assistants from the EEF on the podcast. But I mean, I cast my mind back, John, to think about that time, and I was in a different school. This was before the days of the Teacher Development Trust work that I'm doing, or the research school work. And, you know, we got the toolkit, it's like the original version of the toolkit in the Sutton Trust. And we saw that teaching assistants were relatively high cost for, at that time, considered to be relatively little impact. And people took the entirely wrong message from that and started to, you know, make different use of teaching assistants in some cases, you know, move the teaching assistants on, and it was absolutely the wrong message. Now, the work that you're doing and the Making Best Use of Teaching Assistants has seen a big move, both, you know, nationally in terms of the importance of teaching assistants, but also on the toolkit itself. That's a moving, you know, people are starting to deploy them for the right reasons. So how would you go about kind of sharing this paper with people sort of wider than Stoke? Where would you direct them to?
I think you're absolutely right. What's interesting is recently EEF got, because of the guidance reports that have come out since the original TA report, they've gone back, they've rebranded it now so that it fits in with that sort of group of reports really, really nicely. But in addition to that, more than any of the other reports, there is a series of online resources that are totally free to download. You know, and there's things on there like the scaffolding framework to promote independence, absolutely brilliant tool for a discussion with TAs about how much are you really supporting a child when you are having a learning conversation. There's things like a TA interventions health check, so we know that one of the recommendations is, if you're doing an intervention with a group of pupils, how do you know that it's going to be have the impact that you want it to have? You know, there's a RAG self-assessment against the seven recommendations. There's an action plan template. There's a policy template. If you haven't got a TA policy, there's something to think about. And most importantly for me, one of the conversations we often have as a group is, what's your relationship like with your teacher? You know, it's got to be a double act. You're both there for the same reason. And working together and complementing each other is so, so important. So the teacher-TA agreement that's on the EEF as well is another thing to explore. They recently did an email, sort of a series of emails that came out. If you signed up to it just before Christmas, then you could get copied into their sort of weekly digest of the TA report. That was really useful. And in addition to the EEF as well, I know the Key for School Leaders have got a really nice Ofsted questions for TAs as well. So what might you be asked in an inspection, and which of those questions might you have trouble answering? There's something for staff to think about, as DPD leads to think about, as a little session with their support staff.
Fantastic. And the last bit of this section, John, we do a bit what we call our sort of call to action. So if you were a school leader and you were looking at designing a CPD programme, why should we consider the EEF's guidance report on making best use of teaching assistants?
Okay, so I think for me it would be a personal plea in terms of realise the impact that TAs can have, and really understand that they can be undernourished. They can be you know, a source of real potential, a goldmine for teachers and for pupils. I mean, I'll talk personally from my point of view. Of having a teaching assistant, the relationship, you know, was fantastic. And as a dad, a few years ago, my wife went through breast cancer, and we got a call one day. Well, actually, I got a call at work one day at school. From, this is interesting, the teaching assistant of my daughter's class, not the teacher, but the teaching assistant. And it was about the fact that Alice was really withdrawn, and she wasn't sort of speaking in class. And were we aware of the impact of what was going on with mum at home was really impacting on, you know, her school life and her school work. Mm-hmm. And so I went in to talk to the teaching assistant, and from the way that she supported her over the next two terms, you know, by the summer, she'd really got back to being her old self. And it was because of the teaching assistant. I actually put it down to that person. And, you know, we made a big fuss of her. And she didn't want the praise. And she did, you know, it was part of, she just saw it as part of her job, part of her role. Because we've got to remember, you know, that care, guidance and support, which often teachers don't have time for, we should have time for. But because classrooms are busy, schools are really busy places, TAs sometimes can pick up those things with their sort of antennae. And, you know, and do that extra bit that some pupils need at certain points in their life. So for me, I'm really grateful for the fantastic teaching assistants that are working in schools.
I think it's a great point, John. And, you know, some of the work that I'm doing now in terms of primary schools, prior to this project, I, you know, I'm ashamed to say I haven't spent a great deal of time in primary schools. But as part of the hub now, I tend to be in primary schools probably more often than I'm in secondary schools. And, you know, we're doing a lot of sort of work around some disciplined inquiry approaches, some lesson study approaches, you know, to try and involve teachers, but also teaching assistants, you know, particularly in EYFS. The number of conversations I've been with teaching assistants in EYFS around, you know, lesson study or disciplined inquiry and the insights and making sure that they're developed as well is what you're talking about there.
Absolutely. You know, And the more you sort of involve them, the more keen and eager they become. I did a session at my own school on Tuesday. We had a whole day where we literally took all of the teaching assistants out of school, brought them into our training centre, and they had various people working with them throughout the day, special needs of education and the assistant principals. And I was part of that sort of that mix working with them. And it was amazing, the quality of the conversations and the way that they were talking together and sort of that cross-networking, even inside a school where, you know, again, people don't always see other members of staff. So making opportunities for them to share best practice and to talk about common need and common issues. And so, you know, putting the time aside, putting the space aside to really develop this really strong part of our workforce that sometimes are neglected, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Right, now I'm going to put on my second hat, which if you take a look out of the window today in Blackpool, I need two hats because it's actually starting to snow, which is unheard of for the coast. Yeah. So with my other hat on, we're delighted to say that you'll be joining us for Research Ed in Blackpool in March. And you're going to be talking. So can you just tell the listeners, what is your role going to be in terms of Research at Blackpool and what are you going to be talking about in your presentation?
Yeah, so in terms of my hat of the TDT CPD Expert Advisor, I'm going to come up there and share what will be a very similar story to yours, Phil, I would imagine, but that idea of how do you create a hub, a network for people who are really interested in CPD, particularly evidence-based research. How do you get a group of like-minded people to come together, have hub sessions, and really sort of explore and share and develop and collaborate on effective professional development and using research, taking it back to school, taking those principles back to school, and really getting a group together, an exciting and dangerous group of professionals together to be passionate about CPD. How do you do that? Initially, how do you set up those relationships? How do you do it logistically? And then, I guess the third point is, how do you keep it going and how do you keep it sustainable? So that's going to be my session for you guys, and I'm absolutely delighted to be asked, and I can't wait to come up and share that with everyone.
I mean, that is absolutely fantastic, John. In terms of, you know, the people that are coming, obviously we're close to I think we're slightly over 500 people, which is amazing coming along. But that idea there of designing CPD programs, using evidence and research, but what you said there just struck home with me, taking it back into school and making it sustainable. And I think that people, you know, teachers, leaders, whoever it is that's going to come along to the session will take a lot from that, because sometimes we can say, well, here's, you know, the best practice evidence, here's some research you can use in your classroom, but we take it like a magpie, it's a new shiny thing, we do it for a little bit, and we revert to what we did previously. And it's this idea that you need to design the systems and the structures around it. I think that people would be really interested to hear your insights on that.
I hope so. And, you know, I'm, as I said at the beginning, I'm really quite feel amazed at how the impact of that work is already showing itself with it, you know, 12 months down the line. What we've done in Stoke as well is we started with our original 9 schools, and we've now open it up to anybody who's interested. Anyone who wants to come to the party can come to the party. So the last obsession, you know, we doubled the number in the room. We had 18 people who were just coming along because they were interested in CPD. Fantastic, you know, absolutely promoting that new world that I think we're in. So I'll be telling that story, hopefully trying to inspire others to not replicate it, but, you know, use it as a template for that. Go away, take some of those ideas and release potential in your own area.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you've touched on it a little bit there, but if obviously one of the purposes of this podcast is to try and get people who are coming along to Research at Blackpool to know a little bit more about the presenters that are going to be on the day. So who would you say this presentation would appeal to particularly?
I would say initially CPD leaders. So if you're responsible for CPD, then come along definitely. Absolutely for principals. But also if your role is something to do with you know, networking, collaboration, if you've been given a sort of remit of how can you engage with schools down the road, or how can we be more outward looking instead of inward looking, you know, anything like that as part of your job description or what you're thinking about currently, then this will be the session for you.
Fantastic. So in terms of yourself, John, in the run-up to Research Ed, if listeners want to find a little bit more about you and the work that you're doing, where can they find that out?
Okay, so I'm quite visible on Twitter. Twitter. So if you want to find me, it's John Collier at Friends United UK. And you can visit our Teacher School website, which is www.btsa.org. Nice and simple.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, John, for your time on this snowy Friday afternoon. We look forward to seeing you on hopefully a sunnier day in March. And thanks again for your time.
Pleasure. Thanks for asking me. Cheers, Phil.
I'm sure you'll agree that was a fantastic natter with John about his work and his use of the EEF's guidance report and research in general. To be able to hear more from John, you'll be able to watch him present at Research Head Blackpool on the 23rd of March, or follow him on Twitter, and I'll make sure I put the link to that on the podcast description along with the link to the guidance report. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, then Nailers Natter is now on iTunes, Spotify and Anchor, so please share that with anybody else you think might be interested. And again, to find out more, you can follow me on Twitter at PNA1977. I'm very excited about next week. Next week's show, I will be chatting to Dr. Gary Jones. Dr. Gary Jones has been involved in education for over 30 years and he's got extensive experience as a senior leader. Gary has a doctorate from education management from the University of Bristol and a dissertation focused on the use of school development plans in primary schools. Gary writes extensively and presents at conferences all over the world, including quite recently Sydney, Melbourne, New York, and America and Gothenburg. So that proves to be a very, very interesting interview. I've literally just completed that, so looking forward to hearing that next week. Gary will also be presenting at Research Head Blackpool, and we'll be able to discuss that with him. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and see you next week.
Nailers Natter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA1977 on Twitter.
Nailers Natter, just talking to teachers.